headquarters of Ramsey Solutions, it's the Ramsey Show, where debt is dumb, cash is king, and the paid-off home mortgage has taken the place of the BMW as the status symbol of choice. We help people build wealth, do work that they really love, and create actual amazing relationships. Number one best-selling author and host of the Dr. John Deloney Show, Ramsey personality John Deloney, is my co-host today. Open phones at 888-825-5225. One of the benefits of this show being where it has been for 30 years in the city of Nashville is occasionally we have actual big-time stars drop in who also happen to be friends. John Rich of Big and Rich, Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy fame, is he and Joan are good friends of Sharon and mine, drop by, and he's got a rather interesting story you've engaged in, my cousin.
Hello,
well,
Dave.
Well done, brother.
Well, thank you, sir.
Well done. You are a juggernaut, without a doubt, and have always pulled off some fun stuff. You and I have talked many times on the air and many more times off the air about this stuff, including the whole Redneck Riviera movement and the whole process. But many years ago, you've written and produced songs and multiple number ones over the years. Many years ago, you moved away from the radio industry, the labels, the publishers, and all that, and the world that we're in today allows you to just get direct access to the consumer.
Right.
And consequently, you wrote a song. So Mike Rowe and you, this is the last time we talked. I was talking to Mike the other day about this.
Yeah.
Wrote a song, Santa's Got a Dirty Job. That one went to number one for about a hot minute.
Yeah.
Back at Christmas. And now you got another number one without a label. How do you do this?
Right. Well, the people are responding, which is a great thing to see. I was just so struck by the intense irony that all the things happening in our country right now that are so negative are being perpetrated on us under the banner of the word progress. This is a progressive idea. This is progress. Trust us. It's going to be fine. Let's send gasoline through the roof. You need to be driving an electric car anyway. Trust me. It's good for you. Progress, progress. And I thought, man, that's the opposite of what I would call progress, the things I see going on in our country. So I sat down and I wrote this little 3-minute straight ahead country song called Progress. And I wrote it actually in the beginning of the year, and I waited to see what the summer was going to look like. And I saw this poll that came out in early July that said 88% of Americans agree. And I went, wow, that's a big statement under its own. They agree that the country's on the wrong track. I said, 88% of Americans. I said, that's conservatives and liberals and moderates. That's everybody. I said, it's time to put the song out. So instead of going with the regular big platforms, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube, I went with True Social and Rumble, which are so much smaller than the ones I just listed. Obviously, they're fledgling level at this point. I said, let's just see if I can beat the machine without using the machine. Let's see if it's possible to do it. We put it out, and within 6 hours of it coming out, the thing was the number one most downloaded song, not just in country, but in all of music. And it has stayed there to this very second. It's still sitting at number one. And there's people like Lizzo and Billie Eilish and Harry Styles, and the biggest artists in the world are down below me. I don't have a record deal. It's not number one because I'm singing it. I can promise you that. It's number one because of what it says. And it's connecting with people on a very deep level.
And people are sharing it like crazy. And you've got a lot of media on it. A lot of people, it became a news story. Because you've done it without a label, but also the statement in the lyrics, progress is not progress. I mean,
right.
The hook line is,
stick your progress where the sun don't shine.
Yeah.
Which is that's about the nicest way you could say that, Dave. You know, I didn't cuss at anybody. I didn't do anything terrible. It's not like a Kid Rock song or something. I said it in a nice country boy kind of way, but we've had enough. The song says, stick your progress where the sun don't shine. Keep your big mess away from me and mine. If you'd leave us alone, well, we'd all be just fine. So stick your progress where the sun don't shine. And I think what's happened is the moves that have happened recently have stepped so far outside of political differences. It's more like just personal. You have to do this or you can't go to work. You have to do this. We're the parents when your kids are at school, not you. We're going to tell your kids what we want them to know. They stepped into our lives to such a degree under the banner of progress. Me, for one, I'm just not going to accept that anymore, and I push back with this song, and it seems to be becoming quite an anthem for people that feel the same way.
Yeah, yeah.
It's especially devastating for Dave. He's a huge Billie Eilish fan. You don't know this.
No doubt.
And so he can't wear a shirt around right now because the song's just...
I've messed up Dave's good time.
Yes. Massive Harry Styles fan. Totally just, yeah.
Watermelon Sugar High. That's Dave. All day.
All day. I have no idea who these people are, you two.
I've got a middle schooler. Otherwise, I wouldn't either. Yeah.
I do know who John Rich is, though.
Well, it's battling, man. It's still at number one, but these artists that are underneath me, they're 100 times bigger than me. So this is really just people like who are listening right now. If you want to see that sucker stay at number one, it's $1.29. It's not a big thing. Go download it on iTunes. And if you want to see, can you beat the machine without bending the knee? That's what I wanted to find out. Mm-hmm. And thanks for all the support. We've been able to do it.
Yeah. Well, there's a whole bunch of us figuring that out right now because this idea that you will comply
right
to the mob's totalitarian rule,
mm-hmm.
You will comply with your virtue signaling, mm-hmm. and if you do not, we will squash you like a bug,
right,
is a very real thing out there.
Yes, it
and,
is.
And it's something that everyone that's in the public eye is navigating. Companies are navigating it. People that are in the public eye are navigating it. We're, Ramsey, we have to be wise and principled and decide which fight we want to pick.
Mm-hmm.
Where is it we want to stir up a ruckus, you know, and we want to be intentional about it. And
right.
so, but it's a lot different than even 3 years ago mm-hmm. or even 5 years ago. The environment, the toxic environment in the culture is out of control.
Hey, John, let me ask you this. We have... One of the most common questions I get is from young authors, people who want to be songwriters, how do you do this and how do you write something? Everyone thinks you got to have a deal, you got to go with the big machine, you got to go get a group of this and that. And you had something that was on your heart that said, no, I want to put this out there. Now, and obviously, you're a good singer or songwriter, you know how that the recording process works, but what would you tell that young person with an idea who mm-hmm. thinks they have to go this quote-unquote traditional route to make it, to be heard, to do what I want to say what I want to say, right?
Well, I think to Dave's point earlier, we have routes now to get directly to the people. It really comes down to your content at that point.
Yeah.
If you come with something, you could be somebody we've never heard of before, but if you come with something that is inspiring enough, that hits hard enough, and it starts getting passed around, it can turn into an absolute avalanche of action.
Let's fire the song. We want to hear it as we go into the break.
There's a hole in this country where its heart used to be, and no glory is divided on fire in the street. They say building back better make America great. If that's a wave of the future, all I've got to say, stick your progress where the sun don't shine. Keep your big mess away from me and mine.
Thanks for coming by, brother.
Leave us alone, well, we'd all be just fine.
Last couple of years, real estate market's been tough. We've all felt it. If you're scared, well, you don't have to be. The market seems crazy. It has slowed down, but it's not going to crash. If you're ready to buy, it's a good time to buy. If you're ready to sell, it's a good time to sell. It's just not as wild and crazy and white hot as it was a few months back. So what you've got to have is somebody with knowledge and skill to help you navigate this. This is not amateur hour. You need a high-octane, high-protein real estate agent. If you're going to list a house right now, this is an excellent time to list a house. But you need to get in touch with one of our endorsed local providers that are Ramsey trusted. These are agents that are high producers. They know what's going on. They've got their finger on the pulse. They're doing lots and lots of transactions every month. It's not your Uncle Charlie who just got his dadgum license. Don't list your house with your Uncle Charlie who just got his license. That's dumb. Because you're going to put your largest asset that you own with a newbie, with a beginner. Don't do that. Get somebody that knows what they're doing. RamseySolutions.com/agent. get with one of our ELPs that are Ramsey trusted. RamseySolutions.com/agent. Lisa is in Grand Island, Nebraska. Hi, Lisa. Welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Hi, thank you. It's an honor to speak with you both.
You too. What's up?
I have maybe a couple of questions. My husband and I'm 60 and he's 63, and we have about $30,000 left on our mortgage. And I am wondering if we could take $15,000 out of our Roth and $15,000 out of our 401k to just kind of rip the Band-Aid off.
How much is in your Roth total?
Now it's about $520,000.
Why don't you just take it all out of the Roth?
Well, our 401k is $520,000, and our Roth is at
$22,000.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And the balance on the mortgage was $30,000?
Yes.
Well, you've got any money in savings that's not in retirement?
Just our emergency savings.
How much is in that?
$15,000.
Okay. All right. I'd probably clean out that Roth just for simplicity.
Okay.
That's 22 of it. And then pull the rest out of your 401k, and you're going to pay taxes on that, but no penalties.
Okay.
And I'd be debt free like by the end of the week.
Oh, good. All right. Because our advisor is kind of thinking that we're not going to have really enough to get us through.
If $30,000 keeps you from getting through when you have $525,000 in your account, your advisor's an idiot.
Okay, I feel much better.
I mean, think about it. You're not, if you're $30,000 off, you got other problems.
I think a great gift you could provide your advisor would be to swing by a CVS and pick up a calculator. And when you go visit, you could just hand that with a bow on it.
It's an old-fashioned thing that people used to use, yeah. Our question of the day comes from Blinds.com. Find out for yourself why Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Free samples, free shipping, new promos. They run every month. You'll save even more. Use the promo code Ramsey to get the best deal.
All right, today's question comes from Jason in Texas. Jason writes, I've been a huge fan for 20 years, but have not been able to implement any of your strategies because... Just take a pause right there. My wife thinks tithing and the rest of your methods are too restrictive. She stopped going to church a long time ago and refuses to forgive me for things that happened in our past. The ministers that I've consulted with say she has emotionally and spiritually abandoned me years ago. Oh, man. My 18-year-old watches your videos and loves them. She keeps asking, why didn't you and mom do all this stuff? It seems to work really well. I'm trying to explain why, but don't want to throw her mom under the bus. Is there a way a 52-year-old can start over in life and help a daughter become all she can be? Oh, yes.
As our they do it all the time.
Yeah, all the time. I don't want to minimize, Jason, I don't want to minimize your pain. Here's what your daughter really needs. To quote our friend Jocko, she needs you to take ownership. You look back over your life, and it's because your wife did this, your wife didn't do that, it's because of this. What she needs you to say is, I didn't. I made some choices along the way. And here's where I find myself, and here's what I'm going to do with these next steps, and here's what you can do too. And there's something about that ownership that's really powerful.
So, it sounds like there's a chasm in this relationship. Is this due for an ultimatum? Like you go see a marriage counselor and you say, I'm going to go see a counselor, and if we can't begin to get on the same page and resolve some of these things, then we're going to call this?
The way it writes is there a way to start over? I was just assuming that they've called it. Yeah, called it. So
it sounds like he has. The ministers have given him permission. Mm-hmm. Is in his mind.
Right.
But I don't think he's looked at her and said,
this is done. It's time for me to move on.
It's unless we can heal,
right.
This is done.
That's right.
There's zero chance of a healing or?
Yeah. I mean, if your spouse left you emotionally and spiritually and physically years and years ago, then yeah, these kids have grown up in a home, and that's their picture of what love looks like. That's their picture of what marriage and partnership and communication and connection looks like. And so healing starts with, I should have had a hard conversation a long, long time ago, and I mm-hmm. didn't. And this is the law.
Basically, they've been divorced. They just need to actually formalize it.
They've been divorced for a long time. And
they just need to formalize
They've modeled what that looks like to their kids. Yeah. And so it starts with ownership. Here's some choices I didn't make, right? A long, long time ago. And here's as importantly, here's what I'm going to start doing now. And I'd love you to join me. And I think it's that complicated and that hard and that simple.
Yeah, when we went through bankruptcy and lost everything, it terrorized me and traumatized Sharon. Mm-hmm. And so that's a thing I did that she had to forgive me for, mm-hmm. in a sense, because I basically, you know, I always laugh and say she thought she married Sir Galahad. Turns out it was Goober. But but that's, you know, the truth is she was left with situation, but I was not going on, there's a period of time that we can recognize the terror that she felt, the trauma from having little kids and no money, and the water got turned off because her husband's a buffoon, right? Okay, granted. But 5 years later, we're not still talking about that.
No, then she's choosing to carry that stuff around and weaponize it.
And I'm not gonna be at correct. The other end of that weapon ad infinitum.
Right. I'm staying.
So, dude, 20 staying. Years yes. ago, you did something. Mm-hmm. You know, after 4 years of that, everything after 4 years is your fault.
If you choose to carry that thing around.
No,
right.
he accepted the paralyzation of the household for 16
yes.
years longer than
That's
he should
right.
have.
That's right. That's right.
He should have dealt with her.
That's right. A long, long time ago.
Lack of healing.
That's right.
And it was not that she didn't have a valid reason for being pissed. I don't know what he did.
Right.
But I know what I did. I lost everything. It was my fault. Sharon had no idea what was going on. It wasn't her fault. I didn't hide it from her. I just didn't ask her.
Right.
And she didn't know. And so she's left feeling, like you're driving down the road in the middle of the night and you hit a patch of ice and the car starts spinning.
Yeah, that's a great
And you know you're going to hit something. You just don't know what.
Or when.
And, you know, and that's where she was for a year and a half period of time as we went down the toilet financially, and the round and around we go, you know. And so, yeah, granted, and today even, you know, we've got checks and balances in our relationship in place so that she's not left feeling like I'm somehow out of control again.
That's right. Because that little seed.
That was 30 years
that's right.
ago.
That's right. And how old was Rachel when all this happened?
Born. Baby.
She's a baby. So when I think about my friend Rachel, we've talked about this, when she has a emergency fund for her emergency fund, those yep. seeds were planted in money could be scarce, or money's a thing, yep. right? And those are long ago, right? So
she
sit
felt
with your
that
daughter.
Tension from her mom.
Sit with your daughter and have that conversation right here, Jason.
Exactly.
Take ownership, brother.
Yeah, past time to take ownership. This is The Ramsey Show. John Deloney, Ramsey personality, number one best-selling author, is my co-host today. In the lobby of Ramsey Solutions, on the debt-free stage, Lorraine is with us. How are you, Lorraine?
I'm nervous, but I'm good. I got this.
You got it. We've never lost a patient.
Okay, good.
So you're going to be okay. So we're so glad you're here. Thanks for coming. Where do you live?
Thank you. I'm from LA, California.
Oh, fun. Welcome to Nashville.
Thank you.
So how much debt did Lorraine pay off?
I paid off $70,000.
Very good. How long did that take?
It took me 3 years.
Good for you. And your range of income during that time?
I went from 219 to 234.
Whoa. What do you do for a living?
I am a heavy lift operator. I work for the ports of LA and Long Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Closer to the city of San Pedro
mm-hmm.
for a company called APL.
Yeah, yeah. So you're sitting in one of those cabs lifting those cartons on and off the ships.
All day.
Y'all have had a boring few years, huh?
It's been hectic. It's been crazy.
Yeah, the last few months trying to play catch up.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's been a lot of work.
Have you ever dropped one?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I just needed to know.
What was in it?
Actually, not the can, but the whole machine tipped over because it was too heavy. Yeah, I've had
with
my,
you in it?
Oh, yeah. I had a rescue team come and get me out.
You were in the, did it go in the drink? It went in the water?
No. It was on the yard, but okay. It was not facing
how
the water.
Many stories did it fall over? This is, I get back to the debt in a minute, but oh my gosh.
It was about, oh my goodness, five high.
She's the reason we can't get glass. That was the one full of glass.
No, it was full of sand. It was gravel.
Oh, that's why it was so heavy.
It was really heavy, and I stack them up. They're 40 feet high, each mm-hmm. can. So I did, oh my God, it's pretty high.
Yeah.
It's pretty high.
Yeah. So it wasn't a straight drop. It kind of like, yeah, like a tree. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow. And then next day you're back in there going again, huh?
Going doing that again. Go do it.
$200,000 a year to do that. This is awesome.
Yeah.
So what kind of debt was your $70,000?
So I had credit fever. I had a big relationship with my credit cards, mostly credit cards.
Kind
I
of a toxic relationship.
Toxic.
An abusive relationship.
Yes. I had two personal loans. I had a car loan, and I paid my son's tuition on a monthly basis.
You were just kind of normal.
I was very
making
normal.
Making $200,000 and broke.
Very broke.
So what happened? What woke you up?
I had just bought my car, and I was, you know, excited going through the channels. I stopped listening to music, and I said, I'm just going to listen to, you know, radio, podcasts and stuff like that. And I accidentally heard you on one of the stations say, are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? And I was like, what? What is he talking about? And I switched it. Another time I heard it again and you said, are you living paycheck to paycheck? And I was like, what? And then I switched it again.
Who's
and then,
this guy following me
I was
around?
Like, what does he want? What is he talking to me? How
following
does he know?
Me around.
And then the last time I heard you, you said, you know, most Americans don't even have $1,000 saved in their savings. And I was like, okay, he knows too much. This is too much. He knows way too much about my life. Like, this is me. And so I tuned
in.
Your
shoe size is 9.
This new car has a spy thing in it.
Yeah.
It's a Tesla feature.
I tuned in and I said, oh my God, all these years I've been doing everything wrong. Everything wrong. I was told the more money you make, the more money you spend. The more money you make, the more money you spend. And that was my...
That was her mother's voice. Did you hear that?
I heard it. Yep, I heard it.
Actually, that was my dad's voice.
Oh, okay.
My mom was...
Your dad has a high voice. Okay.
Yeah, my mom was a frugal one. She was like, debt is the devil. You know, don't get no credit cards. That's horrible. Don't do that. Don't live like that.
Okay.
So she was, you know, a lot more...
Okay, so you start listening to the radio, and that kind of, you start going, I've been doing this all wrong. Then what did you do? You just kept listening more, or you got the book, or what'd you do?
I got the book.
Total Money Makeover?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I said, I got to go get this book. I need to read it. This guy knows what he's talking about. He knows everything about everything that I've done wrong.
Would you tell my wife?
Yeah, you became my financial father, and, you know, and I just said, wow, like, I never, you know, my dad never really talked to me about finances. We were raised, do as you're told and don't ask questions.
Yeah.
So I'm hearing you talk about your kids and how you, you know, raise Rachel and how Rachel's like me. I'm Rachel. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, oh my God, he would be so mad at me.
Plus or minus being in a tower lifting crates.
Yeah.
Right.
I was like, Father Dave would be so mad at me right now. I was like, I need to make him proud. So
now you did it.
I did it.
What do you tell people the key to paying off $70,000 is?
I say get on a budget. Mm-hmm. Getting on a budget was new to me. Mm-hmm. I knew how much I had to pay, but I never knew how mm-hmm. to get it done. And the book just guided me, and it took me there. And about a year before I almost finished, I wanted to be debt-free by the time I was 50.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, life happens and a lot of things happen in my family that held me back. So I ended up going into your website, and I got a financial coach, mm-hmm. and she was excellent. Cynthia Stringer, she's mm-hmm. watching. I told her to watch me.
All right. Way to go, Cynthia.
The most beautiful voice, very calming, very soothing. She became my financial therapist at the end.
Wow.
And I told her about how I felt. To be honest with you, I didn't cut my credit cards until I was done because I was so attached to them.
You do have a wicked relationship with
those
things. Yes. Will you ever go back?
Never.
You sure? Because they were abusive and you enjoyed it.
I have 5 children at home. I have Anthony, Ruben, Alvin, Alan, and Alina, and they look at me. Mm-hmm. And we're all on the same page now. They are all way better than I am, and they are already at their emergency fund. They're already at 10,000. So they're doing great. And, you know, they're only working, you know, little jobs here and there, and they're doing amazing. And so I owe that to you because you changed my family tree.
You did.
Yeah.
Well, you're a hero, girl.
With your steps and your
help. You're a
hero. And,
you're used to lifting heavy things, but you lifted a whole life change.
Thank you.
Pretty important.
Thank you.
Yeah, and don't minimize. I watched my mom do hard things from 40 to 50, and it's changed generationally. My kids are different because of the work my mom did when she was in her 40s. Aww. And your kids watched that happen, and your grandkids are going to pick up these messages about freedom and living without this debt. So good for you. It took 10 years, and you changed an entire legacy.
I did, and I'm just so proud. I have more than $1,000 saved now. I never had that before. And after my journey in January, I had I've always had kidney stone issues, and I had this huge kidney stone. It was like an inch and a quarter. Oof. And I had already saved some money in my emergency fund, mm-hmm. and I was off for a month, and I was whistling the whole time. I was just, you know, recovering at peace.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful.
An emergency becomes an inconvenience.
Yes.
When you got your crap together. Well done, kiddo.
It's incredible.
Well done.
It was great.
You're amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah, we've got a copy of Baby Steps Millionaires for you. That's the next chapter in your story for sure. And another copy of Total Money Makeover. You can give that away when you're talking about this sometime and somebody says, how'd you do that? Total Money Makeover did it. It's done it for about 8 million people, by the way.
Yeah.
And Financial Peace University, if you've not been through it yet, we're going to give you a membership for a year. If you have been through it, give it to somebody. The brand new videos in the course, you plug into the community there. You get people around you like you did with a coach and all that. It changes everything in the whole process. It's pretty, pretty stinking incredible. So proud of you, kiddo. Well done. $70,000 paid off. Lorraine from Los Angeles, 3 years she did it, making $219 to $234. More importantly, she changed her whole life. Count it down. Let's hear a debt-free scream.
3, 2, 1. I'm debt free.
Yeah. That's how that's done. Boom! Wow! Scripture of the day, Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Eleanor Roosevelt said, do one thing every day that scares you. There you go.
Every time I'm on the air with you, Dave.
Every time you're on the air with me. There you go.
Hey, and by the way, the last time I was on the show, I was with Rachel.
Oh, no.
And I'm glad you prefaced this with the scripture of the day. There's a bunch of different segments here, and I didn't realize what segment we were on the last one. And all of a sudden, Rachel starts talking in this old Isaiah, Old Testament language. And I heard, if you ever feel sad, and I was like, what's happening to Rachel's brain? And I started to turn quietly and look, and I didn't know what was happening, and then I realized she was reading the scripture of the day. It was fantastic. So thank you for prefacing for everybody. I thought we were losing a patient.
Yeah, it could happen. Bill's in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Hey, Bill, what's up?
Hey, Dave, thanks for taking my call. My question is, my wife and I have been in baby step 3B for almost 2 years. In that time, we've been in the same home. We've had a second child. And, you know, the reason for being in 3B was because our house was getting too small. But after all this time, we've kind of decided that we're going to stay with where we're at and looking at the route of putting on an addition. During that time, we've saved up roughly $70,000, and we have about $150,000 of equity in our current home that, you know, now that we're not selling, I'm assuming we don't have access to. So just looking to see when can we, what's our best step to get that, make that home renovation in addition, and when can we start?
What are you going
to
spend on the addition?
Well, we figure the addition would be roughly about $130,000.
Okay.
Two-story.
All right. What's your household income?
My wife and I, $150,000.
And what's the home currently worth today?
Roughly $300,000.
Okay. So what do homes on your street generally sell for?
So we have one of the smaller homes in our neighborhood, in our street, but houses range from $350,000 to $450,000.
And, you said your current home is worth $300,000.
Right. With this, you know, with the market today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I would not renovate it. I would sell it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's what we were, our original idea was,
yeah,
2 years ago.
It's a better idea. Here's why. Okay. You're going to spend 2 years of your life in hell. That's called a renovation. It's purgatory. Mm-hmm. It's right next door to hell. And it's not hell, but you can see it from there.
And you can hear it. Yeah.
And on top of that, when you finish, if you do a good job with the design, and that's most of the time a big if, because you're getting ready to change this home by 30 to 40% of its structure.
Right.
That's such a large renovation, that's almost like building a house. And the chances of you doing that with good architectural, when you're done, the house isn't just weird, is fairly low. It's very hard to do what you're doing well. Very hard. And if you do it well, and it all comes out perfect after you go through the 2 years of hell, now you have the most expensive house in the neighborhood, which is never where you want to be, at the top of the market. So if I woke up in your shoes, I would sell that sucker. And I would go buy a house that's got the stuff in it you want in a neighborhood where you're in the middle or the bottom half of the price range, where you can get the most future appreciation. Take the equity out of your house, the $70,000, put it down, take out a 15-year fixed rate where the payment's no more than the fourth of your take-home pay, and I would move to a $450,000 or $500,000 house. You make enough money to do that with a $220,000 down payment for sure. And guess what? You don't have to go through 2 years of hell. Because I got to tell you, man, building a house is difficult. Building a house while you're living in it is grounds for divorce. I mean, it's just, jeez, we can have a big fight hanging curtain rods. Building a whole house, no, I would not do it. I would not do it. Am I being clear about advising against this?
Before we go to this next caller, what are your thoughts on renovating a home, Dave? Yeah, no, sell your house, man.
You know, I'll tell you the other thing is we've done light renovations a couple times, like while we were gone on a 2-week trip or something, they would come in and tear out a wall and redo a bedroom and change the carpet out and put hardwoods down and something like that. I mean, you know, but, you know, some substantial renovations, but not major knockout entire things where you have to move out of the house kind of crap. And you know what happens about 6 or 8 months after I finish that? We move.
I love it.
Yeah, I have a thing. All right, Brendan's with us in Idaho Falls. Hi, Brendan. How are you?
Hi, doing well.
Good. How can we help?
My family is preparing to move overseas in a little over a year. What should we do now with our possessions? Should we start selling things or look into long-term storage?
What do you want to do with them?
Probably store them.
Why?
Why? What is so valuable about that couch?
Oh, yeah. Probably not the couch, but just a few bigger possessions, I guess.
Okay. Well, I mean, there's two categories of possessions. There's garage sale crap that you're about to pay money mm-hmm. to store that you should have sold. And then there are things that are family heirlooms or keepsakes that you would never want to get rid of for any price.
Of course.
But I wouldn't pay storage fees for a used couch or a kitchen table. We'll just get you another one later, unless it was grandma's kitchen table.
Dude, I did that one time, man. Yeah. I put a couch in storage when I was in an apartment, and a year later, at $50 a month, I realized I'd paid $600. I mean, I paid more than a new couch was worth back then. It was so ridiculous, man. Yeah. I would pare my stuff down as bare minimum as you can and get rid of it. And if you have a few things that are legacy pieces, then yeah, hang on to those.
Yeah, yeah, or stuff that you know that you. Well, I mean, there needs to be a real reason that it can't be replaced with a better one, newer one when you get back. How long are you going to be gone?
At least 5 years.
Are you going on the mission field or what?
Just working, doing higher education.
Yeah.
Overseas.
What are you thinking about storing? What do you want to keep?
A few vehicles, things that would be a little difficult to get right immediately once we move back.
Don't keep a car in storage for 5 years unless it's a classic. It'll depreciate out from under you. Sell it, man.
Gotcha.
The car that you have now, how old is it?
2010.
Okay. So it's already 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get back, it'll be 17-year-old car.
Yep.
That is not a... No.
Yeah, sell it, man.
Sell that. No. Sell that for sure.
Okay.
If there's not a sentimental, a deep sentimental hold on something, there's going to be very few things in your household that are not going to be ridiculously outdated when you come back in 5 years. 5 years in our world of rapid change is an eternity. Mm. I mean, can you imagine getting a TV out of storage that was 10 years old?
Have you seen 5-year-old pictures of yourself, Dave?
Well, 5-year-old pictures of me look about the same, but but yeah, that's the thing. I mean, 5-year-old pictures of your kids. I mean, things change. Your 5-year-old cell phone. I mean, anything. Everything is 5 years is ancient for most things. No, I would not hardly keep anything here.
Here's an important thing: have some money so that when you start planning on your return, put some money away so that you, with a sinking fund, so that you can walk, land here and go buy a car.
Yeah. Right? I mean, take the money from your cars and stuff and park the money. Money can sit there. It won't deteriorate. Assuming you don't put it in Bitcoin. I mean, but other than that, it's going to go up and go, don't buy gold with it, but yeah, put it in a savings account. It'll be there when you get back and buy another car. And, you'll be pretty close on that. Good show, John. Thanks for hanging out. Well done, Will, Austin, Ben, Zach, Andrew, James in the booth. I am Dave Ramsey, your host. We'll be back with you before you know it. In the meantime, remember, there's ultimately only one way to financial peace, and that's to walk daily with the Prince of Peace, Christ Jesus. Dave here. You can find all of our shows with the Ramsey Network app on your smartphone. It's the only place to listen to the entire back catalog of episodes. Download the Ramsey Network app in your favorite app store today.
If you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from the Ramsey Network, like The Rachel Cruze Show.
Money should be fun, not stressful. I'm Rachel Cruze, and I'll show you practical tips on how to save money in your everyday life and get out of debt even faster on The Rachel Cruze Show. I'll show you that you can take control of your money and create a life you love. Listen to The Rachel Cruze Show wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, it's James, producer of The Ramsey Show. This episode is over, but check the episode notes for links to products and services you heard about during this episode. Thanks for listening.